Last week, the College Board announced it would make significant changes to the SAT test. Every year, over 3 million high school students take the SAT to apply to get into college. Some critics say the SAT is not a reliable test of college readiness. Over 800 colleges across the nation no longer require students to submit standardized test scores. So what will these changes mean? Philip Ballinger is Associate Vice Provost for Enrollment and Undergraduate Admissions at the University of Washington. He says he's been thinking about the significance of the SAT for a while now.
I was part of a commission back in 2008 that studied the use of standardized tests in undergraduate admissions. And one of the recommendations that we strongly made was that each college and university should assess whether the SAT or the ACT, these kinds of tests, are, one, predictive and useful. And if they are they useful enough to be used? At the UW, they're quite predictive, and so we still use them.
Really? Why were you even asking that question? Why did you have to go on this commission? Why did you have to study it? What was the question?
There were lots of questions. One was, you know, do these tests, in fact, bar some students? Are these tests predictive enough that they add value? There's a huge test preparation industry that definitely favors students from more affluent families. So all these questions led to that commission.
And then you came to that conclusion. So how big a role do the tests play in determining the applicant's acceptance?
Well, it'll vary hugely depending on the university. At some universities, they play a very significant role. At the UW, they're important. They're not as important as the grades in the context of the courses. And this is one of the key issues about tests. I think institutions have to gather data. They have to look at it. And also, they have to have conversations about how to use the tests. For us, too, I mean, you know, we're a public university. Part of our mission is the enrollment of first-generation students, underserved students. And for many of these students, it's not unusual that the test scores would be lower. But we would still make the admissions based on other factors in the application. And then the question for us is, do the test scores, in fact, indicate a support area for that student in terms of tutoring or other support areas?
So a need.
Yeah.
You know, so you just touched on this, but critics have long said that the SAT favors upper middle class students, white students.
Yeah.
Poor and minority students have a disadvantage. So you do agree that there is a disparity between the...
Yeah, I think that the correlations are that SAT and other tests correlate with family income. And then, of course, the question is, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Just family income? There's not as much correlation between race?
For us, simple fact is, across race, ethnicity, across socioeconomic categories, that at the University of Washington, the SAT is still more predictive. And by predictive qualities, I mean academic outcomes for students.
Philip Ballinger is the Vice Provost for Enrollment and Undergraduate Admissions at the University of Washington. Go over again real quickly. What are some of the changes to the SAT?
This is pretty substantial change, and I'm sure many people have heard about the Common Core standards, and the new president of the College Board, David Coleman, is a primary author of Common Core standards, and so certainly there's a linkage with the change in the SAT and the Common Core standards that we'll have in our schools.
So the Common Core standards, higher, a little more rigorous curriculum across the board. So how does that play out with the link?
Well,
the
first thing I think is the across the board part, because we have such variations, not just between states, but in a state. So Common Core standards in itself, I think, is a positive approach. The other part is to make the test attached to specific skills that they'll need in college. And for example, when it comes to writing, we want them to write relative to evidence. So it's not how do I feel about something or what do I think about something. Is that what does the evidence, what does the text, what does the information lead to? And the writing would therefore be about that kind of critical analysis. And that's the kind of stuff you need to do in college. And this applies to the math section as well, where students will be given different forms of data from different fields of learning. It could be various charts, graphs, descriptions, and the test will be focusing upon the student's understanding and application of evidence and data in different academic areas. I think that's a good move.
So how do those changes affect the way you're going to use the SAT in the application process?
I don't think there'll be a substantial change in how we use the SAT as long as they continue to be significantly predictive at the UW. The one change will have to do with the essay becoming optional. We found the writing to be valuable at the University of Washington.
So you found the less structured writing useful but not as useful as you hope you'll find this structure.
Yes, and the other question, too, is if the optional writing section adds to the cost for students, then I think that would be a factor we would take into consideration as well.
That was Philip Ballinger, Associate Vice Provost for Enrollment and Undergraduate Admissions at the University of Washington, on the changes to the SAT. I'm Steve Scherr. This is The Record on KUOW.